Gisela Schoeffer was born Gisela Duszynski in Brno in 1932. Her Viennese father was Jewish, making her a target for the Nazis, and her baptism as a Roman Catholic very likely saved her life. She later came close to being forced to leave during the mass expulsion of Czechoslovakia's German population after the war. But she stayed until, that is, a meeting with a Finn led to a life abroad. Today, Gisela Schoeffer, who soon turns 81, lives in Venezuela with her American husband. I met her through a mutual acquaintance when she was in Prague recently on holiday.
I am born in Brno. My mother was a big Czech person, even she was from Italian, Austrian parents, but she studied in the Masaryk University in Brno and became doctor for philosophy, art and history and did everything for the Czech people. She was never Austrian or Italian. She was only Czech, and that's how I was brought up.
And your father was a Viennese German-speaking Jew?
Yes. No, he also spoke Czech also.
Was that quite common in those days to have those kind of mixed families, bilingual families?
No, it wasn't. I was really suffering in a school of my name because Gisela is not a Czech name. Everybody's Růžena, Božena or Anička. And they were laughing. They always said, Gisela je Kisela. That was my name.
Which means sour.
Yes.
Were your family part of the Jewish community in Brno?
No, we were not, because the mother of my father, they were living in Litoměřice, and we went there just visit, and that was all.
You were born in 1932.
Yes.
So 7 years before the beginning of the war. Your parents must have been hugely worried as war approached. Were you aware of that as a kid?
No, only that my father wanted to leave Czechoslovakia to England, and my mother didn't want to go because she loved this country.
So what happened? Did your father go and did your mom stay? Or?
Yes, my mother divorced him. And after for a while, she married a man called Dr. Josef Burjánek. And he was very much active also in the Czech theater and had to do, I think, in Brno in museum.
Tell us about your own war experiences. Is it the case that you survived the war because you were baptized Christian?
I survived it only because when my mother died and my father was gone, it started to prosecute the Jews. And my grandmother was afraid, as they called it, Mischling, when you were like half Jewish. Even the Jewish people don't recognize when the father is Jewish, you are supposed to be only Jewish when the mother is. My grandmother sent me a little village called Němčice first, and there they baptized me. And there was my godmother, and every time I came to Czechoslovakia, I used to visit my godmother there.
And you spent the war years living in a convent?
Yes, in a convent called Boskovice. The convent belonged to a count called von Mensdor, and the nuns, they were actually contributing. They had a little farm there, and that's how they were living. And the von Mensdorf was coming every day to the chapel. We had a little chapel. And because I spoke German fluently, thanks to my grandmother, I used to go play with the von Mensdorf children because they spoke German.
I understand also that you had some visitors at the convent, the Gestapo would come.
Yes, the Gestapo. Actually, we had to move from our bedrooms because we were about 150 children, and they shoveled us to all together to two bedrooms, and the Nazis, they stayed a while there.
And how was it sharing quarters with Nazis?
No, because I spoke German. Actually, the Nazis, I got chocolates, and actually I sat even on the lap of some Nazis. They, of course, had no idea that my father was Jewish because I was blonde with blue eyes. So.
Were you afraid or
no, I wasn't, because I felt very safe there.
Brno was bombed during the war, I think towards the end of the war. Do you have memories of the bombing?
Yes, because my grandmother was not afraid of bombing. Everybody was down in a basement after they heard the sirens. But she, because there was called Hotel Passage in Brno, where she was manager, she went in the last floor and looked actually what's going on. And she saw the smoke coming, of course, from the bombs. And then after everything was quiet, we went to see if any of our friends got bombed. And I remember seeing half of the building, just half of the toilet or so. And also bomb which didn't explode. It was a big hole there, an unexploded bomb.
What are your recollections of the end of the war? In May 45?
Yes, that was very scary because we were 2 weeks in basement. We had, of course, everything there. We had mattresses and plenty of food. But every time when some bombs exploded, it got light was out. And, of course, as children, we were very afraid.
I guess also when the Russians came, your grandmother must have been concerned for you because you must have been a pretty young girl at that time.
Yes, because we had the bad Russians. We had those Tatars, or I don't know how you call them. And they were raping girls. So every time she told me, when you go out, make sure you put a scarf on your head so they don't see that you are blonde. And everybody was afraid of raping.
Your parents didn't survive the war.
No, my mother died in 1942 on lung tuberculosis. And my father got lost in war. He was flying for the RAF, for the British Air Force. And I was, actually not me, but my grandmother was investigating, and they say he just got lost in war somewhere.
Had you been able to communicate with your dad during the war?
No, only I remember when I was 6 years old, he came to say goodbye and brought me a doll. And it's just like I remember it like today. That was all.
After the war, what became of you? Or where did you go? What did you do?
After the war, it was bad because my grandmother, for some reason, got German citizenship. Probably she was afraid not to get deported or something. And when end of the war, they announced all the German citizens have to come in kind of office in town. And there was a big line, kilometers of line with suitcases. And she had to go also, of course, I with her. And when before we went, about 20 Czech citizens where she worked came and vouched for her, that she always did very good for the Czech people. She was a good person. So they let her stay.
Otherwise, she would have been one of those 2 or 3 million who were expelled from
yes.
the country.
Yes.
And then you moved with her to Prague, is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Where you worked as a governess with
yes.
at various embassies, Western embassies.
Yeah, first I worked in that was my first job, with a fabulous family. He was a military attaché. Jim Simon was his name. I worked with 2 children. And I got known a little bit the English culture.
But eventually you left Prague after meeting a Finn.
Yes, I met a Finn. And the third day after I met him, he proposed the marriage to me. And that time it was very difficult during communism to get out of the country. But because he was representative of Centrotex. And in that era, if Finland wanted to buy something from Czechoslovakia, they had to send something to Czechoslovakia. Finland was overproducing butter, cheese, and so we were sending from Finland butter, cheese to Czech Republic, and also paper. Finland is producing paper. And we were buying textile to Finland. And he had quite a high name, because that time there were not many foreigners making business. So it took me 9 months to get the permission to leave the country.
What's fascinating to me is that you left the country, you had a son with this Finnish guy, and your son came back to Prague to study dance as a teenager.
Yes, he came, he was 12 years old. He was actually dancing from age of 6. and I brought him up in a Czech spirit. Even he was Finnish. Finnish language is very difficult, even I learned it. But I sent him to German school, so he has one international language. And from 9 months old, I was coming every year or every 2 years to Czechoslovakia. And when he was 5 years old, I sent him to a family in Brno, which I knew actually when I got baptized. So that was family from the godmother. And he stayed whole summer when he was 5 with this Czech family.
You used to visit him when he was here studying, and he stayed here all this time.
Yes, he stayed. He graduated from the dance academy. The professors absolutely loved him because he was brought up as a Czech, and nobody understood when he was speaking about Finland. How do you know so much about Finland? And he speaks Czech completely without any accent, completely like a Czech person.
You lived in Finland, you lived in the States, you now live in Venezuela.
Yes.
And you have remained in touch with Czech culture partly through the women's magazine Květy.
Květy, yes. Květy, because when my son was small, I put an ad in a Květy magazine to find a Czech friend which could visit us in Finland, and then my son could come visit him. And it happened. We found a boy who came to Finland and stayed with us about a month. And then my son came here and visited him. And from the time I am receiving Květy magazine, wherever in the world I am, my son pays for it for a whole year. And it comes punctually even to Venezuela.
50 years you're reading this Czech magazine.
Yes.
Incredible. Now you come back here, you were telling me, every couple of years. How do you find being here?
I find it that Czechoslovakia lost a little bit identity because I was looking for a Czech doll. I mean, like from in a Czech national costume, there is one from Kyiv because I had a costume like that when I was a child. And so I went to a store and she's trying to sell me a Polish one. I said, no, no, no. I am Czech and I know how my costume looks. So I say, thank you. So I found another store, and they were trying to sell me Hungarian one. I say, no, no. At last, where Jan Hus statue is, on the left side is a store, and there at last I found a store with Czech dolls, which I brought one for me, and we have in Venezuela many Lebanese friends, and I brought for their daughter also another Czech doll.
So you've introduced them to the Czech kroj.
Yeah, Czech kroj, yes.